name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is April 7th, year 2010, and it's Easter Wednesday. Christ is truly risen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
And don't let the Jews lie to you. Christ is truly risen. We're going to be reading from my book, The Jews, the chapter titled Historical Proof of Accursed Jews. God curses his fallen away chosen, both fallen away Jews who were once his chosen people and fallen away Catholics. These curses are listed in the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 15 through 68, and other biblical books. Quote, "But if thou wilt not hear the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep and do all his commandments and ceremonies, which I command thee this day, all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. But if you will not hear me, nor do all my commandments, if you despise my laws and condemn my judgments, so as not to do those things which are appointed by me, and to make void my covenant, I also will do these things to you. I will quickly visit you with poverty and burning heat, which shall waste your eyes and consume your lives. You shall sow your seed in vain, which shall be devoured by your enemies. I will set my face against you. Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, cursed is the man that shall not hearken to the words of my covenant." Evil Jews have been punished with all these curses at various times and places. Fallen away Catholics during these days of the great apostasy are under the same curses, as will become more and more evident as time progresses. Keep this in mind, for many of you who are reading this and listening to this audio are fallen away Catholics, regardless of what you think. The fallen away Jews who rejected and crucified Christ thought they were good and faithful Jews, when in reality they were rebellious, faithless traitors, just as you fallen away Catholics are. The punishments that you will read that came upon the fallen away Jews will also come upon you, some which have already occurred as proven by the massive immorality and discord in families among fallen away Catholics who are worse than pagans. Also keep in mind as you read the fate of the fallen away Jews, Jerusalem and the temple, is the same fate that awaits fallen away Catholics, Rome and Vatican City. That I assure you is guaranteed. God is a respecter of no persons. When his fallen away chosen lose the faith, he curses and punishes them, and if they do not repent, he destroys them and sends them to the deepest pits of hell. This chapter will deal specifically with the fallen away Jews during the New Covenant era, the Jews who do not believe Jesus Christ is God and Messiah. Because of their murder of Christ, their blood guilt, and their unbelief in Christ, they are subject to any and all of the curses mentioned in the book of Deuteronomy and other biblical books, just as were the evil Jews during the Old Covenant era. Quote, "But if you will not hear the voice of the Lord thy God," which during the New Covenant era is Jesus Christ is God, "to keep and do all his commandments and ceremonies as taught by Christ and the apostles and then through his holy Catholic Church, which I command thee this day under the New Covenant era, all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee." Deuteronomy 28:15. And Jeremiah 11:3, "Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, the God of the Catholic Church, cursed is the man that shall not hearken to the words of his covenant, the new covenant." When the Christ-denying Jews whine and complain about how they are being treated by the rest of mankind, it is actually God whom they are whining and complaining against. For it is God who has ordained all the curses and punishments that have come upon them. Yes, at times God mitigates the severity of the punishment so as to preserve a remnant to remind men of what the consequences are for those who disobey God, especially when his chosen people disobey him. He also preserves a remnant of Christ-denying Jews with a hope of their conversion. We read in Ezekiel 12:15-16, "And they shall know that I am the Lord, when I shall have dispersed them among the nations, and scattered them in the countries, and I will leave a few men of them from the sword, and from the famine, and from the pestilence, that they may declare all their wicked deeds among the nations, whither they shall go, and they shall know that I am the Lord." And St. Bernard teaches in his Epistle 363, we read in the Psalm a new kind of prophecy concerning the Jews. "God has shown me," says the church, "on the subject of my enemies, to slay them not in the case my people should ever forget. Alive, however, they are an eminent reminders for us of the Lord's sufferings. On this account, they are scattered throughout all the lands in order that they may be witnesses to our redemption while they pay the just penalties for so great a crime. Everybody looks at them and sees how they're being punished by God because of their crime. St. Augustine on Psalm 58:18. The Jews remain with a mark. They have been conquered, but not swallowed up. Not without reason did God set a mark on Cain when he had slain his brother in order that no one should slay him. This is the mark that the Jews have. These are therefore Jews. They have not been slain. They are necessary to believe in nations. Why so? In order that God may show to us among our enemies his mercy. He showeth his mercy to the wild olive branches, the Gentile Catholics, that are grafted in, by showing us the punishment of the natural branches that have been cut off because of pride, the Jews that do not believe in Christ. Behold where they lie that are proud and cast out outside the Catholic Church. Behold where thou hast been grafted in inside the Catholic Church, and be not thou proud lest thou shouldest deserve to be cut off, fallen away Catholic Gentiles. End quote. We read King Alfonso X, the wise of Castile, in his Las Siete Paridas. Quote, the reason that the church, emperors, kings, and princes permitted the Jews to dwell among them and with Christians is because they always lived, as it were, in captivity, as it was constantly a token in the minds of men that they were descended from those who crucified our Lord Jesus Christ. The unbelieving Jews are subject to any and all of the curses in the book of Deuteronomy and the other biblical books until they say, quote, blessed is he, Jesus Christ, who cometh in the name of the Lord, Luke 13:35. That is, until they believe Jesus Christ and the Most Holy Trinity is God, do penance and get baptized into God's Holy Catholic Church. St. Cyprian in Against the Jews says, by this alone the Jews can receive pardon of their sins. If they wash away the blood of Christ slain in his baptism and passing over into his church, obey his precepts. And as Isaiah the Lord says, now I will not release your sins. When you stretch forth your hands, I will turn away my face from you. And if you multiply prayers, I will not hear you, for your hands are full of blood. End quote. We will trace the historical fulfillment of the curses in the book of Deuteronomy and other biblical books that have come upon the Jews because of their unbelief in Jesus Christ. Indeed, the rejection and murder of Christ and ongoing unbelief in him have brought the worst curses down upon them. The siege of Jerusalem and the fall of the temple in AD 70. Daniel prophesied the exact time of Christ's coming and that his own people would reject him, and as a result, the temple would be destroyed. Daniel 9, 21-27. As I was yet speaking in prayer, behold the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, flying swiftly, touched me at the time of the evening sacrifice. And he instructed me, and spoke to me, and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to teach thee, and that thou mightest understand. Know thou therefore, and take notice, that from the going forth of the word to build up Jerusalem again, unto Christ the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, and the street shall be built up, and the walls and straightness of time. And after 62 weeks, Christ shall be slain, and the people with their leader shall come, and shall destroy the city, Jerusalem, and the sanctuary, the second temple. And the end thereof shall be waste, and after the end of the war, the appointed desolation. And he shall confirm the covenant with many in 1 week, and in the half of the week, the victim of the sacrifice shall fail, and there shall be in the temple the abomination of desolation, and the desolation shall continue even to the consummation. End quote. Indeed, when Jesus Christ the Messiah came, he prophesied that the temple would be destroyed because the majority of the Jews would reject him. Luke 13:34-35 and 19:43-44. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that killest the prophets, and stonest them that are sent after thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together as a bird doth her brood under her wings, and thou wouldest not. Behold, your house shall be left desolate, for the day shall come upon thee, and thy enemy shall cast a trench about thee, encompass thee round and straighten thee on every side, and beat thee flat to the ground, and thy children who are in thee, and they shall not leave in thee a stone upon a stone, because thou hast not known the time of thy visitation." End quote. The first major punishment then of the evil Jews who rejected Jesus Christ was the Roman siege of Jerusalem and the destruction of the temple in AD 70, in which over 1 million evil Jews were exterminated by the will of God, using the pagan Romans as his ministers of justice. Quote, "And sending his armies, he destroyed those murderers and burnt their city." Matthew 22:7. And a Catholic commentary on Matthew 22:7 says, "Here our Redeemer predicts the destruction of Jerusalem by the armies of Vespasian and Titus, sent against them by the Almighty, in punishment of their incredulity and impiety. For sooner or later, God is observed to exert his vengeance on all such as despise his word or persecute his ministers." End quote. On Passover, March 31st, A.D. 70, the Roman commander Titus and his army laid siege to Jerusalem for 5 months, fulfilling the following curse upon the evil Jews. Quote, "Thou shalt be besieged within thy gates." Deuteronomy 28:52. The St. Angel Roman Missal of 1953 for Tuesday in Passion Week commentary, page 383, says, "The deicide nation suffered the penalty of its crimes. 40 years later, 1 million Jews caught unprepared in Jerusalem were exterminated by the Roman legions after 5 months of famine." The non-Christian Jewish historian Flavius Josephus, who was born in AD 37 and died in about 101 AD, witnessed and recorded the siege and destruction of the temple. We read from his book, The War of the Jews, Book 6, Chapter 9. "Now the number of those that were carried captive during the whole war was collected to be 97,000, as was the number of those that perished during the whole siege, 1,100,000, which is 1,100,000. The greater part of whom indeed of the same nation with the citizens of Jerusalem, but not belonging to the city itself, for they were come up from all the country to feast of unleavened bread and were on a sudden shut up by the army." It was the Passover. That's why they were all there. "They were all of a sudden shut up by an army, which at the very first occasioned so great a straitness among them that there came a pestilential destruction upon them, and soon afterwards such a famine as destroyed them more suddenly. Now this vast multitude is indeed collected out of remote places, but the entire nation was now shut up by fate as in a prison. And the Roman army encompassed the city when it was crowded with inhabitants, according to the multitude of those that therein perished, exceeded all the destructions that either men or God have ever brought upon the world," end quote. Other than knowing the flood. He means in a local destruction like that. How's that for a Holocaust and a destruction? The Jews tried to exceed it by that stupid 6 million number. Here the Romans, by the will of God, Jesus Christ prophesied it, killed 1,100,000 Jews and took the rest into slavery and captivity. A few of them remained free and they had to flee. Even before the temple was destroyed, God had Christ-denying Jews killed by the sword in several ways, culminating in the main slaughter by the Roman commander Titus. We read a Catholic commentary on Luke 13:3. "This prediction of our Savior came upon the impenitent was afterwards completely verified, for Josephus informs us that under the government of Cumanus, 20,000 of them were destroyed about the temple in his Book of Antiquities, that upon the admission of the Idumeans in the city, 8,500 of the high priest's party were slain." This is before the final destruction. "Insomuch that there was a flood of blood quite round the temple." You saw that last night, when the zealots came in and destroyed, killed some of the high priests. There was 8,500 of them they killed. And the blood was running down the steps of the temple. "That in consequence of the threefold faction that happened in Jerusalem before the siege of the Romans, the temple was everywhere polluted with slaughter. Their priests were slain in the exercise of their functions. Many who came to worship fell before their sacrifices. The dead bodies of strangers and natives were promiscuously heaped together, and the altar defiled with their blood. That upon the Romans taking possession of the city and temple, mountains of dead bodies were piled up about the altar, streams of blood ran down the steps of the temple. Several were destroyed by the fall of towers, and others suffocated in the ruins of the galleries over the porches, end quote. After the siege, the temple was burned and destroyed in fulfillment of Daniel and Christ's prophecies, which is also a fulfillment of the following curse. Quote, I will bring your cities to be a wilderness, and I will make your sanctuaries desolate, and will receive no more sweet odors, end quote, Leviticus 26:31. That's the curses our Lord promised against the Jews who would disobey him. St. Hippolytus, in his Fragments of Dogmatic and Historical Works, number 30, says, what then? Are not these things come to pass? Are not things announced by thee fulfilled? Is not their country, Judea, desolate? Is not the holy places burned with fire? Are not their walls cast down? Are not their cities destroyed? Their land? Do not strangers devour it? Do not the Romans rule the country and other people after that? Only now recently have they reoccupied it, but that's because it's really a curse again, an abomination, a desolation where it doesn't belong. But for over 2,000 years almost, they've been desolate by God. And as we go on reading more about this, and we understand that this was a punishment from God because of their unbelief in Jesus Christ, how could then God bless modern-day Israel, which is occupied by Christ-denying Jews who are committing the same crime their fathers committed to earn this destruction? How could the same God ever then give them that right when they remain in unbelief for over almost 2,000 years? No, they're under the same curse, and they have no right to Jerusalem or Israel or to rebuild their temple at all. The reason that God permitted it was to punish the world and to let the Antichrist come to power. Remember I said, Jesus said in the final days, there's going to be an abomination of desolation in a place where it doesn't belong. It doesn't belong. It doesn't belong. They don't belong there. They have no right. Christ's punishment right here that you're reading about was his manifest displeasure towards them and sending his curse upon them by casting them out of Israel and Jerusalem and destroying their temple. We read now indeed that not a stone upon a stone of the temple was left unturned in fulfillment of Christ's prophecy. He said this in Matthew 24:1-2. And Jesus being come out of the temple went away, and his disciples came to show him the buildings of the temple. And he answered and said to them, do you see all these things? Amen, I say to you, there shall not be left a stone upon a stone that shall not be destroyed. And the Catholic commentary in Matthew 24:2 says, a stone upon a stone. We need not look upon this as exaggerated. The temple was burnt by the Romans and afterwards even plowed up. See St. Gregory of Nazianza, so that not a stone upon a stone was left unturned. The Arch of Titus still stands in Rome as a symbol of Rome's victory over the evil Jews, the destruction of the temple, and the casting them out of Jerusalem. A Rome that shortly after was to receive God's favor and be his new home, symbolic of God giving his vineyard to others. The faithful among the Gentiles were now destined to rule God's chosen Catholics. God indeed had cursed the evil Jews. He did not bring forth good fruit from his vineyard and turned it over to others. Luke 20:13-16. Therefore, having yet one son most dear to him, he sent him in last of all, saying, this is representing Christ himself, they will reverence my son. But the husbandmen, the Jews, said one to another, this is their heir, this is the Christ, the Messiah. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance shall be ours. And laying hold of him, they killed him, crucified him, and cast him out of the vineyard. What therefore will the Lord of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy those husbandmen, and will give the vineyard to others. Take it away from the Jews and give it to the Catholics. Both Jews and Gentiles, Catholics, Catholic Jews and Catholic Gentiles, are God's only chosen people in New Covenant. Aaron, he gave it to the Catholic Church and took it away from the synagogue, and ended the synagogue. Read Ezekiel's prophecy in Ezekiel chapter 9 of the fall of the temple, which is also a prophecy of the coming fall of Rome and Vatican City. God uses pagans as his ministers of justice. God used the pagan Roman emperor Vespasian and his commander Titus as his ministers of justice, just as he used the pagan Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar and his commander Nabuzardan as his ministers of justice when he took the evil Jews into captivity between 604 and 562 BC and destroyed their first temple in 586 BC. God referred to King Nebuchadnezzar as his servant sent by him. We read of this in Jeremiah 21 and Jeremiah 32. Quote, "And after this, saith the Lord, I will give Zedekiah, the king of Judah, and his servants, and his people, and such as are left in this city, from the pestilence, and the sword, and the famine, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and into the hand of their enemies, and into the hand of them that seek their life. And he shall strike them with the edge of the sword, and he shall not be moved to pity, nor spare them, nor show mercy to them. For I have set my face against the city for evil, and not for good, saith the Lord. It shall be given into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall burn it with fire. Therefore thus say the Lord of hosts, because you have not heard my words, behold, I will send, and I will take all the kindreds of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and I will bring them against this land, and against the inhabitants thereof, and against all the nations that are round about it. And I will destroy them, and make them an astonishment, and a hissing, and perpetual desolations. And I will take away from them the voice of myrrh, and the voice of gladness, and the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride, the sound of the mill, and the light of the lamp. And all this land shall be in desolation, and in astonishment. And all the nations that shall serve the king of Babylon for 70 years. It was common knowledge among the Babylonians that the Jewish God, the God of Israel, delivered his own people into their hands to be punished. Quote, the nations which were employed by God to scourge the Jews recognized that they were the instrument of his indignation. That's a Catholic commentary on Deuteronomy 28:46. The general of the Babylonian army, Nebuzaradan, who destroyed Jerusalem in the temple, freed Jeremias and acknowledged that Jeremias' God, the God of Israel, was with the Babylonians. We read of this in Jeremiah 42:3. And the general of the army taking Jeremiah said to him, the Lord thy God hath pronounced this evil upon this place, and he hath brought it. And the Lord hath done as he has said, because you have sinned against the Lord. You have not hearkened to his voice, and this word is come upon you. This is the destruction of their first temple. When are the Jews going to learn? When are these Jews going to learn? When are these Jews going to learn? These evil Jews are either going to learn and convert and save their souls or not and end up in eternal hell, like every Jew who never conceded is in hell right now, burning for all eternity. When are they going to learn trying to build a third temple in defiance of God's decree when they have no right to that temple? They're going to learn, and when it's too late, they're going to end up in hell. And that third temple is going to be destroyed by Jesus Christ when he comes the second time. The Babylonian and Roman pagans were weapons in the hands of God who welded them. And when the weapons boasted beyond measure, shall the axe boast itself against him that cutteth with it? Isaiah 10:15. Thinking more of themselves than they are, then God destroyed them also. If the pagans did not convert and repent, God in turn punished and destroyed them. Jeremiah 25:12. And when the 70 years shall be expired, I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity and the land of the Chaldeans, and I will make them perpetual desolations, because they started to treat the Jews unjustly. And God said that I'm now going to destroy you. And he brought the Persians in, who favored the Jews and released them after 70 years of captivity. Just as the pagan Romans, who unjustly persecuted Christians, lost their empire to be replaced by the Holy Roman Catholic Church, which was another manifest sign that the one true God is the God of the Holy Roman Catholic and Apostolic Church. We're now going to read of the plagues and pestilences and famines that came upon evil Jews. God does not just use pagans and their armies to punish his fallen away chosen, but all his creatures and all the forces of nature. Quote, the Lord shall send upon thee famine and hunger. May the Lord send the pestilence upon thee until he consume thee out of the land. Deuteronomy 28:20-21. Indeed, the evil Jews were afflicted with this curse for rejecting Christ. We read this from an imprimatur book, commentary in the Gospel of Matthew. Then to show that he himself also will assail the Jews with them, and war on them, he speaks not only of battles only, but also of plagues sent from God, famines and pestilences and earthquakes, showing that the wars also he himself permitted to come upon them, and that these things do not happen for no purpose, according to what has been before the accustomed course of things amongst men, but proceeded from the wrath of high. And therefore he said not that they should come only, or come suddenly, but as significantly, these are all the beginnings of troubles, of the Jewish troubles. Now we're going to read about one of the worst curses, where the Jews ate their own children when they were in captivity, when they were put under siege. This happened twice in the history of the Jews. once during the Old Covenant era and once during the New Covenant era during their siege at Rome. We're going to read about them eating their own children. During the Roman siege of Jerusalem, which caused the famine, another curse was fulfilled, and a most gruesome one. The evil Jews were so void of grace, cursed and desperate, that some of them ate their own children. Jesus promised that this curse would come upon them in Deuteronomy 28, 53 and 57. And thou shalt eat the fruit of thy womb, and the flesh of thy sons and of thy daughters, which the Lord thy God shall give thee, in the distress and extremity wherewith the enemy shall oppress thee, and the filth of the afterbirths that come forth from between her thighs, and the children that are born at the same hour, and they shall eat them secretly for want of all things in the siege and distress wherewith the enemy shall oppress thee within thy gates. And the Catholic commentary on these verses says, a cruelty which the Jews were guilty of in the siege of Samaria and of Jerusalem under the Old Covenant era. This prophetical and terrible denunciation was realized in the siege of Samaria when two women agreed to eat their own children, one of whom was actually boiled. We read about that in 4 Kings 6:29. And in the last siege of Jerusalem, we read of a mother killing her own child to satisfy the craving of hunger. She also boiled her suckling infant and actually devoured a part of it. End quote. We read in Lamentations 2:20, behold, O Lord, and consider whom thou hast dealt with. Shall women then eat their own fruit, their children of a span long? And Baruch 2:3, that a man should eat the flesh of his own son and the flesh of his own daughter. The non-Christian Jewish historian Josephus, who lived during the Roman siege of Jerusalem, wrote of this in his book on the War of the Jews, Book 4, Chapter 3. There was a certain woman that dwelt beyond Jordan, and it was now become impossible for her any way to find any more food. She's in the siege in Jerusalem, though. While the famine pierced through her very bowels and marrow, when also her passion was fired to a degree beyond the famine itself, nor did she consult with anything but with her passion and the necessity she was in, she then attempted a most unnatural thing, the snatching up her son, who was a child sucking at her breast. She said, O thou miserable infant, for whom shall I preserve thee in this war, this famine and this sedition? And to the war with the Romans, if they preserve our lives, we must be slaves. This famine also would destroy us, even before that slavery comes upon us. Yet are these seditious rogues more terrible than both the other. Come on, be thou my food. Be thou a fury to these seditious varlets, and a byword to the world, which is all that is now wanting to complete the calamities of us Jews. As soon as she had said this, she slew her son and then roasted him, and ate the one half of him, and kept the other half by her concealed. Upon this, the seditious came in presently, and smelling the horrid scent of this food, they threatened her that they would cut her throat immediately if she did not show them what food she had gotten ready. They were hungry too, and wanted to eat the other half of the kid. Now they're going to fight over her son. She replied that she had saved a very fine portion of it for them, and wither uncovered what was left of her son. Hereupon they were seized with a horror and amazement of mind and stood astonished of their sight when she said to them, this is mine own son, and what hath been done was mine own doing. Come, eat of this food, for I have eaten of it myself. They didn't know it was the kid, evidently. They thought it was some animal or something. Come, eat of this food, for I have eaten of it myself. Do not pretend to be either more tender than a woman or more compassionate than a mother, but if you be so scrupulous and so abominate, this my sacrifice, as I have eaten the one half, let the rest be reserved for me also. After which these men went out trembling, being never so more frightened at anything as they were at this, and with some difficulty they left the rest of that meat to the mother. End quote. It was prophesied to happen in the old God. Deuteronomy prophesied that God said that that's going to happen to you. It happened in the Old Covenant, and that's in 70 AD under the siege it happened. I told you this story before many times that some Jew from California wrote me and yelled at me. He says, when did us Jews eat our own children? I said, when did you last read the Bible? It's even in the Talmudic Jewish false Bible. It's even in the false Protestant Bibles. And it's in the true Catholic Bible that was prophesied to happen. and even prophesied when it did happen under the Old Covenant era. And here's Josephus, the Jewish historian, testifying that it happened during the siege in 70 AD. And this was by the will of God. This curse also came upon evil Jews during the Old Covenant era when the Syrians besieged Samaria, the capital city of the northern kingdom of Israel. We quote from 4 Kings 6:28 to 29. This woman said to me, "Give thy son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow." So we boiled my son and ate him, and I said to her on the next day, "Give thy son that we may eat him also." And so, and this is a testimony, right? 4 Kings, chapter 6, 28 to 29. Open it up, folks. Evil Jews cursed by God, God Almighty, and making them eat their own children. You yell about how, oh, how the Germans, oh, look what the Germans did to the Jews, or look what this one did to the Jews. I say, look what God did to the Jews. I say, look what God has allowed to happen to the Jews by His direct order, by the permission of God, because they're evil Jews. You never hear about that. And on top of it, if they even lie about what happened to them. But they're going to get the Holocaust they keep talking about in the final days when God comes a second time, and the eternal Holocaust in hell if they die today. Yeah.
Well, that'd be the good example of one. If you want one example of a Jew that was evil, those women that ate
their own kids.
How more evil could you
that's
be
right. That's it. You'd rather die than do that. Even cannibalism.
Yeah.
Die rather than eat the flesh of a human even. This is something that's against the natural law. Indeed, after the Roman siege, which caused the death of evil Jews by starvation and the sword, and after that many died by pestilence and other ways, only a few Jews remained in fulfillment of the following curse. Deuteronomy 28:62, "And you shall remain few in number, who before were as the stars of heaven for multitude, because thou heardest not the voice of the Lord thy God." And we read in Nostra Aetate, that heretical document in Vatican II, that the Jews today, Jews should not be looked upon as if they're under a curse. I always say, folks, what Bible are these people reading? Are they crazy? As we say, many people say, "What do you think, I was born yesterday?" Even a kid with the use of reason who reads these scriptures can say, "That is the most stupid, racist, dumb, silly thing I ever heard." I don't think, no matter how much somebody loves their own race, Italians love Italians. You're expected to love your race, not idolize it, but love it. Would ever say that every Italian was good or every Frenchman was good? I mean, it's just stupid. They say this about the Jews today. It's unbelievable. You can't even come out and condemn one Jew for being evil on anything without being falsely called an anti-Semite. Now we're going to read about the punishments of slavery and the scattering, the Jews taken into slavery and their scattering among the nations. Many of the Jews who did not die were taken into slavery, which was a fulfillment of another curse that came upon these evil Jews who denied Christ. We read about this curse in Deuteronomy chapter 28. May thy sons and thy daughters be given to another people, thy eyes looking on and languishing at the sight of them all the day. Thou shalt beget sons and daughters, and shalt not enjoy them, because they shall be led into captivity. Thou shalt serve thy enemy, whom the Lord will send upon thee. The Lord will send upon thee in hunger and thirst and nakedness and in want of all things, and he shall put an iron yoke upon thy neck till he consume thee. The Lord shall bring thee again with ships into Egypt, by the way whereof he said to thee that thou shouldst see it no more. There shalt thou be set to sail to thy enemies for bondmen and bondwomen. He sent the Jews into slavery and captivity, scattered them among the nations. A Catholic commentary on Deuteronomy 28:68 says, "The Romans had a fleet in the Mediterranean, which they would probably convey the captives into Egypt." Josephus speaks about this, informs us that many of the Jews had been conveyed into that country after Jerusalem had been ruined by the Chaldees, the Babylonians, and after it was destroyed by the Romans. Some of those who were above 17 years of age were sent thither in chains to work at the public works. Others were reserved to grace the victor's triumph or to be destroyed by the sword or by wild beasts in the theaters, which those who were under 17 were sold. During the time that Fronto was making the selection, 12,000 were starved to death, either by cruelty of their keepers or because they refused food, the multitudes causing it to be very scarce. In the course of the war, 97,000 were taken prisoners, and in the siege, 1,100,000 perished. For the whole nation was shut up in a prison, as it were by fate, and the city was besieged full of inhabitants at the feast of Passover, so that the number of those whom the Romans slew publicly or took prisoners was greater than ever was destroyed before. We read Eusebius's Ecclesiastical History, Book 3, Chapter 7. Of the rest of the multitude, those that were over 17 years of age were sent as prisoners to labor in the works of Egypt, while still more were scattered through the provinces to meet their death in the theaters by the sword and by beasts. Those under 17 years of age were carried away to be sold as slaves, and these alone, the number reached 90,000. These things took place in the manner in the second year of the reign of Vespasian, in accordance with the prophecies of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who by divine power saw them beforehand as if they were already present. And then as if speaking concerning the people, Christ says, quote, "For there shall be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down by the Gentiles." Luke 21, 23 to 24, end quote. By slavery, forced expulsion, and want of a homeland, the evil Jews were scattered among the nations, which is a fulfillment of another curse recorded in Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26. The Lord make thee to fall down before thy enemies. One way mayest thou go out against them and flee seven ways and be scattered throughout all the kingdoms of the earth. And as the Lord rejoiced upon you before doing good to you and multiplying you, so he shall rejoice destroying and bringing you to naught. If you do good, he'll do all these good things. If you do bad, he's going to do all these bad things to you. So he shall rejoice destroying and bringing you to naught, so that you shall be taken away from the land which thou shalt go in to possess. The Lord shall scatter thee among all people from the furthest parts of the earth to the ends thereof. And in Leviticus 26, I will destroy your land, and your enemies shall be astonished at it when they shall be the inhabitants thereof, and I will scatter you among the Gentiles, and I will draw out the sword after you, and your land shall be desert, and your cities destroyed. Who can deny that this hasn't happened for 2,000 years to the Jews until they recently illegally occupied their land, Israel, in 1947? A Catholic commentary on this says, since therefore the Jews were predicted as destined to suffer these calamities on Christ's account, we find that they have suffered them and see them sent into dispersion and abiding in it. It is manifest that it is on Christ's account that these things have befallen the Jews, the sense of the scriptures harmonizing with the issue of the events and of the order of the times. Saint Sulpicius Servius and his Chronicles, chapter book 2, says, Jews are beheld scattered throughout the whole world. They have been punished for no other reason than for their impious hands laid upon Christ. Saint Augustine, in the City of God, book 18, chapter 46, but the Jews who slew him and would not believe in him, because it behooved him to die and to rise again, were yet more miserably wasted by the Romans, were utterly rooted out of their kingdom, and were dispersed through the lands, so that indeed there is no place where they are not. And another Catholic commentary says, you Jews did crucify him, but after he died on the cross, he then destroyed your city. It was then that he dispersed your people. It was then that he scattered your nation over the face of the earth. In doing so, he teaches us that he is risen, alive, and in heaven. Because you were not willing to recognize his power through his benefactions, he taught you by his punishment and vengeance that no one can struggle with or prevail against his might and strength. End quote. Pope Innocent III, in his epistle to the Count of Nevers, says, the Lord made Cain a wanderer and a fugitive over the earth, but set a mark upon him, making his head to shake, lest anyone finding him should slay him. Thus the Jews, against whom the blood of Christ calls out, although they ought not be killed in every case, nevertheless as wanderers, they must remain upon the earth, until their faces are filled with shame, and they seek the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. End quote. Another curse was that the Christ-denying Jews themselves would be a curse and reproach to the nations in which they were scattered, which in turn caused them to justly suffer wrong and be justly oppressed by the nations. They were trouble to every nation they went to. They lied, they cheated, they murdered, they spread immorality and more faithlessness and made those nations even more evil. And the nations then finally got fed up with them, punished them, and kicked them out to other nations. So they're just wandering. That's how they end up wandering from nation to nation. And we read about this in Baruch 3:8. In Deuteronomy 28 and Baruch 3, but we're going to read from Deuteronomy 28. Thou shalt be lost as a proverb and a byword to all people among whom the Lord shall bring thee in. And mayest thou at all times suffer wrong and be oppressed with violence. And mayest thou have no one to deliver thee. God's telling you, may you be oppressed wherever you go and treated violently and punished wherever you go. Baruch chapter 3 verse 8 says, and behold, we are at this day in our captivity, whereby thou hast scattered us to be a reproach, a curse, and an offense, according to all the iniquities of our fathers who departed from thee, O Lord our God. To be a curse, because they departed from God. And when you rejected Jesus Christ, was not that the ultimate curse? A denial of your Messiah, of the Holy Trinity, the God and man who came to save you? Are they not cursed for that alone? Yet people tell us today the Jews are not cursed. They're all good. The apostate anti-pope Ratzinger comes out and says they're blessed merely because they have a Jewish name. I went over that in one of my sermons. You got to read that stuff to believe it. It's phenomenal. We see happening today. That's why I'm reading this to you. That you people better wake up. That almost everybody's evil in the whole world. And that includes almost every Jew in the Jewish race. I don't care. Very few people are saved. I'm reading to you about all the curses coming upon these Jews by the Lord God. So when they whine and complain, it's God they have to, they're really whining against. Now let's read about this other curse that came upon them. And this is really probably is the worst curse of all, is spiritual blindness, where they can't understand why these things are happening. They don't ever get better. And over thousands of years now, they keep crying out and they're not going to the source to get rid of the problem. Only very few Jews have converted during the New Covenant era. But that's what they need to do to get rid of the spiritual blindness. But this is the worst curse of all on the spiritual. The one eating the children is probably one of the worst carnal punishments. And the worst curse of all, due to their hardened, obstinate hearts, is spiritual blindness. Deuteronomy 28:29, the Lord strike thee with madness and blindness and fury of mind. And mayest thou grope at midday as the blind is wont to grope in the dark and not make straight thy ways. He's drove them mad. And it doesn't mean just like Alzheimer mad, like you see, that's a curse too. That's the extreme form of madness where they lose their mind altogether. They have a mind, but they're almost like insane, really, because they have no true wisdom. They're in chaos. Their beliefs are foolishness. Their ways are foolish. They're tormented, they're confounded, they're confused, they're whining, they're complaining. Look at the Jews when they complain. They're mad. They're mad. They got the hatred burning in their bosom. It's for their own sins, and they're not seeing the real reasons. Yes, this blindness came upon evil Jews because of their rejection of Christ. Isaiah and King David prophesied of this. Isaiah chapter 6, and he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their hearts heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see in their eye with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. King David says this in Psalm 68. They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, and that they may not see, and bow down their backs always. And St. Paul confirms that indeed this curse came upon Christ-denying Jews, who cannot understand the true meaning of the Old Testament. Quote, but their senses were made dull. For unto this present day, the selfsame veil in the reading of the Old Testament remaineth not taken away, because in Christ it is made void. But even unto this present day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 14 to 15. And St. Augustine in the City of God, book 18, chapter 46 says, let their eyes be darkened, lest they see, and bow down their back always. He's saying that He's blind. God, because they did not listen and they were obstinate and sinned against the Holy Spirit so bad, he pulls his grace away and does no longer give it to them. So they can no longer see because they don't want to see. So when you don't correspond with God's grace and don't use your free will persistently, and God gives you 1,000 times to see something, he finally pulls his grace away so you can no longer see because you didn't want to see to start with. So he goes here. Therefore, when the Jews do not believe our scriptures, their own, which they blindly read, are fulfilled in them. Whilst they read, let them not wonder that they, whose are the books, understand not by reason of darkness of enmity, for that they would not understand was foretold beforehand by the same prophets, which is behooved should be fulfilled in like manner as in the rest. And by the secret and the just judgment of God, a due punishment should be rendered to their deserts. Let their eyes be darkened that they see not, and ever bow down their back. Thus having with them the clear testimonies of our cause, they walk around with their eyes darkened, that by their means those testimonies might be proved, wherein they themselves are disproved. He's saying by looking at them, we're seeing the fulfillment of that curse. Indeed, wow, look how stupid they are. Look how dumb they are. Look how blind they are. They saw all the miracles of Jesus. Lazarus was risen up that for 4 days in the tomb. They see the testimony of the Catholic Church for 2,000 years. The true saints raising people up to the dead, doing all these miracles. That's what Augustine's saying. Who can doubt that these people are blinded? That they're under this curse, this spiritual veil of darkness because of their own sins. Who can doubt it? In their books are supporters, in their hearts are enemies. In their copies are witnesses. He's saying they're witnesses against themselves. You claim to believe in the Old Testament condemns you. You're fulfilling those prophecies and not even knowing it by your blindness, by not accepting Christ. Poor, lost, Christ-denying Jews, I hear you constantly whining and complaining. Why are all these bad things happening to us? Us, why me? Poor holy Jew. That's what they think they are. God has told you time and time again, but you refuse to listen. Deuteronomy 28, Jeremiah 11:3, and all these curses shall come upon thee and shall pursue and overtake thee till thou perish because thou heardest not the voice of the Lord God, Jesus Christ, and didst not keep his commandments and ceremonies which he commanded thee as found only in God's Catholic Church. And in Jeremiah 11, that's Deuteronomy 28, Jeremiah 11. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the God of the Catholic Church. The God of Israel is the God of the Catholic Church. You cannot separate those titles. It's the same God. Cursed is a man that shall not hearken to the words of this covenant, the new covenant, not the old covenant that died and was replaced with the new. So now you have been told again, you faithless Jews, in the name of the one true God, the God of the Catholic Church, who is the God of Abraham. It is my sincere desire and heartfelt prayer that the time is come when God will lift the veil of darkness from your hearts so that you may see and embrace the truth that will set you free. John 8:32. That you would turn away from your antichrist, your false hope in the Messiah other than Jesus Christ, and turn to the Christ, the one and only Messiah, and enter his one true church, the Holy Catholic Church, so that all your curses may be lifted and your suffering and suffering will be turned to merit and gain, you everlasting life in God's heavenly kingdom. Quote, Jesus saith to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. John 14:6. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16:16. And do you hear anybody talking about that in the world today? Anybody amongst these so-called Catholics, when they visit places and have opportunities to open up the trap that God gave them, their foul mouths, nothing but foulness comes out of it. They visit, they talk, they meet with Jews, and they say, we're all brothers and we're all going to heaven, instead of what I've just told you. Is that not really a hatred of the Jews? Don't they really hate them? If I really hated the Jews, what would I do? If I really, really hated them, I wouldn't tell them this. I would say, you're fine, you're going to heaven, just stay the way you are. And I'd laugh at their destruction going to hell. No. And the Jews know what I'm saying. Believe me, I live with Jews. Jews respect people that face them down. I think most men do. Most men, except for real wimpy, cowardly men. And for the most part, Jews aren't really cowardly. They're pretty bold even. So my hope is that, I know you probably hate me for what I'm saying, but as long as you respect me, that's a beginning. Now let's get. I'm telling them to get back on that railroad. They know that when somebody comes out and a so-called Catholic puts his arm around this apostate Jew, Talmudic rabbi, and says, "Hey, we're brothers," that Jew's got to be laughing all the way to the bank. Except unless he's a liberal Jew. Some of these lefty dove Jews are just as stupid, you know. But I mean, come on. We don't worship the same God. These people are worshiping a false God. I want to hear that out of the mouths of these people. I think we've been this Easter, even with my Easter Monday sermon, or no, Sunday, about what I was telling you about how people can't even say the J word, you know. Jew, you know. It, just go out and try it somewhere. If you're in public, you know, say the J word. Jew. All the eyes are going to start looking. They're going to start running. First, they're going to start, if you're in a supermarket and you're talking to somebody in aisle three, and you got five people in aisle three, just say, "Well, you know about the Jews? Oh, their ears are going to perk up. They're going to look at you, and then they're going to run into different aisles. And maybe even tell other people, he's talking about the Jew." Or even the guy you're talking to might say, "Ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch." You know, it's almost the Jews made your own word dirty. It's like a dirty word or something. But it's a fearful thing, isn't it? It's kind of weird, isn't it? I mean, it's not hard to say Italian. Italian. You know, French. German. Jew, the J word. Nobody talk about them Jews now. Except you say something nice about them. And then they perk up and listen. Now, if you say, like they say, like all Jews are blessed and all that, then they reward you. Oh, what a sick world. All right, name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Any questions? That's why I wrote those books in the beginning, because yeah, that's why I'm reading them, because it's good to give a speech like without reading it to inspire people, but reading, like when you read from it, because I don't miss anything, and you're getting the teachings from the church and the scriptures, it's the word of God backing you up. I mean, how could you? You could. Oh, okay, what are you going to say? I Brandy speaks too fast. Was that? What about what I said, knucklehead? Yeah. You know, what about what I said? Was it true or not? Yeah. Let's address the content of the issue.
I'd like a memory and go right to Israel.
Oh yeah, that's what these sermons are. God's gonna. When I was in New Jersey, I had a lot of Jews harassing me and everything. I did. I had Jews coming to me asking me about the Messiah in New Jersey. Really, Jews asking me. I had some woman Jew come in and she says, asking me. This is before I knew what God was even calling me for, and I was baffled. And she says, "What's the Messiah going to be like when he comes? Is he going to be a chauvinist or?" Because she was a feminist, you know. And I says, "Well, God doesn't support feminism, so forget it. You know, I don't think you're going to be happy with the true God, because he doesn't support feminists." But I had Jews come in and ask me all kinds of questions. Mafia guys. I said, "What's going on here? What does God want me to do?" But it was a process. But I had them coming in. I had one Jew straighten me out when I was all messed up a little bit, thinking, "Oh, we're all okay. We're all chosen people." I was as bad as anybody. You know, I was as stupid as bad as anybody, thinking that we're all the same. We're okay. He's not too bad. This guy, Sid, he was from Brooklyn, JG Optical, and he comes sell me some stuff. I was talking to Sid. He goes, I says, "Well, Sid, aren't we all the same? Almost very close, you know." This is what I was saying, you know. And Sid gets up and goes, he says, "Rich," he says, "think about it. Are we really the same?" That's what he said. "Are we? Do we really believe in the same things?"
A Jew.
Sid. He was a nice guy, kind of guy, in a natural plane, too. Yeah, he was honest. Oh, they are, the Jews. Yeah. And now, you know, I said, after then, you know, now I had another Jew I was working with, an optometrist, and I tried to convert him, and I said, and then I was talking to the Jew, and I said, "Look," I said, "I'll give you an example." I told him that the Vatican II Church isn't Catholic, and I said, "I'll give you one example. They say you Jews who don't believe in Jesus worship the true God, and I believe that Jesus is God, so obviously you and I don't worship the same God." And the Jew said, Of course we don't. He says, "We don't worship the same God. I don't believe in Jesus." He says, "Good, you know that, right? You believe that, right? Vatican II Church says you really believe in the true God, according to us even." They know it's stupid. Because if we both believe in the same God and they deny Christ, how can that be? The two twain shall never meet. So that's the first, you know, he says, "Well, of course." That's the question I'm asking him. I said, "Do you believe in Jesus as God?" "No." I said, "So do we believe in the same God?" He goes, "No, of course not. How could we?" Unless he's a lying Jew. You know, I'm sure you'll probably get one of them lefty liberal Jews. Yeah, he'll say, "Well, we worship God in different ways. We see him, he's blood, you know, we through different lenses. You see three gods through that lens, three persons maybe, and one God, and we just see one. We don't see Jesus in our lens." That's what Father Harrison tried to say. Yeah. I says, "We ain't even looking at the same person, pal."
Yeah.
is completely, your God is a completely false. That's the lie of Harrison. Think how evil he is, even. That guy's rotten.
He is rotten. Yeah, I could see myself in New York City handing out that pamphlet right there.
Yeah, just.
I wonder how long I'd last.
Just that. Well, the one guy got so angry and eating his own people. No, I really say, do they read the Bible? You know, today they're saying Pilate was hunting down Jesus Christ. Jesus, you know, like the wanted posters, the FBI, they got him when you go into a postal office. Wanted, number one. He acted like Jesus was the most wanted criminal in the Roman Empire, so that Pilate was just waiting to get his hands on him. The complete is, the absolute complete opposite is the truth. Pilate says, I find no guilt in this man. I like this man. Let him go. That's what Pilate is saying. Well, how could it be the governor is letting you go, the number one wanted man, when he's got him in his clutches? I mean, everywhere through the Bible it says, Pilate said, this man is innocent. Don't kill him. I mean, now they tell you Pilate was the one who wanted to kill him and not the Jews. I've never seen anything like it. That's why I say, what Bible are you people reading, really? You know, the extent of that, the way these people lie, I think how they get us when we're young, going to school. We believe them because it's on TV. We believe what is it. That's how stupid we were. We believe what's ever on TV. And our parents brought us to these schools and we believe the teacher. And he's got it in a book and it's nice and written in it, so we believe it. And then when you start to check out a few things, you go, wow, these are Wallapalooza lies. I mean, they're not even small. And then when you catch them doing that once, and it's not a mistake, it's a real lie, don't ever trust them again. But what does the world do? They keep going back to these people. They keep going back and back and reading their books. That's why I say when we hear about a lot of these even on Constantine and all these really holy men and women, they're true saints, they try to denigrate them and lie about them. So they're expert liars.
But why even what's printed about history is almost like a newspaper. Yeah,
only a little tidbit and the parts they want to give you.
Yeah.
And really, I think if a goodwill person, like I think I had some goodwill at that time, I understood that it never made sense to me, so I never listened to it. It was completely foolish. You know, American history was a joke. It was like a bunch of statues when they showed you these guys' faces. It didn't mean anything to me. I didn't know why they fought. What did they believe in? What was the reasons? None of the stuff was ever told to us. They just idolized the guys, put them on a pedestal with a few stories. It made no sense to me. Never did. I never liked it. Never liked it, sir.
I don't think I knew what a Jew was probably until I was 20.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever heard the word or ever knew anything about the word Jew.
That's what Hitler said until he went into Bavaria. It was one of the main cities, Hitler or Munich. He never knew about the Jews. And he says, when I saw them, he says, I thought they were all right, like anyone else. I didn't think they were that bad until he saw them. And he saw what they were doing to his country. And how. But he even, if you converted and a Jew was a Catholic, he let them stay. They were working in the Third Reich at the end of the war. There was Jews in the Nazi army working with Hitler. He didn't like the unbelieving Jews because they were starting the Masonic lodges, spreading pornography, drugs, and all that kind of stuff. And he saw it. And when he first saw them, he was surprised. He admired their organizational ability, but he didn't like their ways.
Yeah.
He said, they're destroying Germany. They're like a cancer. These people are only like 5% of the population. They control all the money, and 80% of the Germans are out of work and all that. He saw all that happening.
They have to be right because now they control the whole world.
Now they do.
Yeah.
They do. Who can doubt it?
How wrong could he have been?
Who can doubt it? All right, and it'll be more obvious as we go down the road. All right, so that'll. Any questions? Any other questions? So that's, you know, we're going to have to tell these guys when they convert, I think, some of their penances. To write on a chalkboard, evil Jew, 1,000 times a day, and repeat it for maybe a week. You know? Evil Jew. Evil Jew. Evil Jew. Evil Jew. Evil Jew. Evil Jew! That's why I do it so much. It's so true. It's that thing. You hammer it. You know what they look for, too? They look if you can talk like I am and you're still alive. Because when I started talking like this, the devils threatened me personally. My dreams and when I was awake that they would kill me and they beat me up physically. I got beat up by devils and everything to turn and make me stop. Because it's a really deep diabolical thing. And their idea is like, you don't talk against a Jew. Look what happened to all the presidents when they go against the Jews. Because they're not right. They don't have the Catholic faith. But they know there's a punishment to follow. So there's a lot of stuff going on there. But that really will be serious. Just let them start using the J word. And the other word, the H words of heresy and heretic, you don't hear that no more neither. Hell. Hell. Yeah, hell. Hell, heresy, and heretic. All three of them.
Yeah.
All right, in the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, amen. This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878. and can be accessed on my St. John the Baptist website at www.johnthebaptist.us.